Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are dubious consent, sexual assault, suicidal ideations, graphic violence, and explicit sexual content.
And I have a Spotify comment, and this one comes from Fam Junkmans. And it says, I love this podcast. Been listening nonstop since I found you funny girls. Thanks for making me LOL every episode. Lots of love from the Netherlands.
Thank you.
So far, thank you.
Thank you, cutie patootie.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Vipers and Virtuosos by Sav R. Miller. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it a 3. The plot didn't plot. The ending was way too hyped up for what it was. And I just didn't care about either of the characters.
Well, dang. I gave it a 3. Whoa.
Gasp.
Which is, like, criminal to me, because I love dark romances. If it wasn't for the pod, I probably would have not finished it. I'm sorry, Sav. Please don't be mad at me. It just was not for me.
I gave it a 3.5.
Okay.
It was all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, I would like to ask, so this book is like a romance between a civilian girl and the world's biggest rock star. Who would it be for you guys?
Justin Bieber. I pictured like a Justin Bieber vibe in my head.
Oh, that tracks. That tracks.
I can't do Justin Bieber right now because I feel like he's kind of off his rocker.
That's sure.
That's like the Justin Bieber I'm picturing.
So we start the book in our female main character's prologue, and her name is, drumroll, Riley.
We have our first Riley.
It is?
Yeah. Weird. Okay.
She was just attacked brutally by one of her mom's shitty boyfriends.
Wow. Sorry, Riley.
He stabbed her in the stomach, and he grabs a shard of broken glass, slicing up her cheek, and all she can think about is how she hopes her mom isn't too mad at her for bleeding out all over the carpet.
Riley's face.
Wow. What an intro.
Yeah. We're in the present day, and Riley's mother has just died.
No. Don't say that.
Do you like being this FMC?
No.
So far?
No, I love my mama so much.
Well, this Riley doesn't care very much. Okay. She's like, my mom's dead. Eh.
Good for her, I guess.
Her mom was an abusive piece of shit who'd put cigarettes out on her stomach just to tell her beautiful things were wrought from the most unimaginable pain.
Yeah, I mean, fuck her mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom would never.
She would never. Riley was even almost sold to one of her mom's crime lord boyfriends who dealt in sex trafficking.
Ew.
So, like, her mom was literally the worst.
Yeah.
Riley's only regret is that she wasn't the one who killed her, and instead it was her brother, Boyd.
Boyd?
Yeah. Boyd is worried about leaving her alone in New York City, but Riley insists that she's fine. She has 2 roommates and she'll be safe. She's on a school trip right now.
Oh. How old is she?
18.
Okay.
And he's like, okay, fine, but if you don't check in every hour on the hour until you're in bed, I'm on the first flight back from King's Trace to come find you. After he leaves, her roommates get back and they come into her room to show her a beautiful green gown that they picked out for a charity event that they are all to attend. Her roommates are super bitchy to her since she's not really interested in going, but they tell her the Aiden James is going to be there and he's going to be placing bids at the live auction. So it's like one of those Salacious Players Club auctions.
Okay.
Yeah, but not like for sex. It's just like for a date. And Aiden is some famous rock god who Riley is obsessed with. Like, she had like posters of him up in her room, listened to all his music. She tells her roommates it's not like they'll even be able to talk to him. And Melly and Aurora are like, oh, sweetie, he's going to be bidding on you. Meanwhile, Aiden is in New York City arguing with his dad about how he stole his girlfriend. So I guess Aiden was dating someone and she was cheating on him with his own dad.
Oh.
So he's got a fucked up family life too. And this girl was the only girl he'd ever been with, and he tells his dad he wants to talk about his contract. He doesn't want to be on his dad's record label anymore. But his dad tells him a contract is a contract and he'll just have to live with it. Later on, he's at the gala charity event thing, and it's almost time for the auction. He's looking around at the girls who will be walking on stage, and they all bore him. Until he catches a flash of green. Her body is banging, and he can tell she looks positively angelic from what he can see of her. His friend Liam catches him staring and is like, why don't you just go talk to her? But his mom is there, and he doesn't want to cause any drama, and Liam's like, dude, just go for it. He looks back at the mystery girl and sees her chatting up a tall, silver-haired man, and he wants to rip this dude's arm clean off just for even touching her shoulder.
Yeah. He doesn't even know this woman. Chill.
He hasn't even seen her face.
Chill. Yeah, she could have an uggo face. He doesn't know.
She doesn't.
They never do.
They make eye contact, and he tells Liam he's going to be bidding tonight, and it'll be on her. Meanwhile, Riley is deeply uncomfortable with the creepy old man who won't leave her alone and is internally freaking out about the eye contact she just made with Aiden. Because she's like, oh my fucking god.
Oh,
Aiden.
He looked at me.
Could he really have been checking her out? The man keeps getting increasingly creepy, and her shitty friends ditched her as soon as they walked into the party. She's realizing that's all they wanted her for, was to get them into this party. The guy starts trying to touch her and then tells her that she knows what she signed up for. To attend the party is to agree to be auctioned off. And now she's like, excuse me, what the fuck? She didn't know that. But you like sign something when you walk in,
and that you means get auctioned. You have to be auctioned off?
Yeah.
Mm.
She looks down at the little buzzer the usher gave her when she walked in, and the guy tells her that if she wanted to decline, she would have had to do so before entry. Then her buzzer goes off just as the creep is digging his fingers into her thigh. And he's like, well, it looks like someone already purchased your company for the night.
Ew.
His grip tightens, and he starts telling her all the gross shit he wants to do with her once he gets her alone, and she's freaking out, looking around for anybody to help her. Aiden walks up and slaps the bar, telling the man she's not for sale.
Because I bought her.
She's off the market. The grip on her tightens enough to bruise, and the creep tells Aiden that he's not fighting over this girl. And Aiden's like, yeah, we aren't fighting. You're leaving. Go off.
All right.
The creep grabs the buzzer and slams it down on the bar, shattering it. And Aiden tells him to get his fucking hands off of her right now. And the old guy's like, whatever, man. Have fun with your dead fish, you dick. And then walks off. And Aiden takes the guy's seat and orders them both a drink.
What does he mean, dead fish?
Like, she's just gonna lay there like a dead fish for you tonight.
Huh.
Yeah, no personality.
So what if she is? Let a girl be.
Yeah, leave her alone. Aiden asks what her name is, and he calls her Angel. So he's like, what's your name, Angel? And she's swooning because the Aiden James just called her Angel. She doesn't want him to find out who her family is, so she decides not to give him her name. She's playing it coy. And he's like, I just want to know what to call you when I collect my dues, because I did just pay for you. She laughs nervously, and he thinks to himself how badly he wants to fuck this girl. She admits to him that this isn't her scene, and she'd rather not have even come. And he's like, oh yeah? What would you rather be doing? And she's like, I don't know. I've never been here before. She's just here on a class trip, but she assures him she's legal.
Okay.
She tells him she got held back a year, so that's why she's of age. She's just a little dumb.
Yeah, she's like, I'm stupid. But I'm of age. Okay, and I just want to say, if you did get held back, you're not stupid.
Well, and she got held back because she got attacked.
Yeah.
So she, oh, yeah.
Brutally.
I take back what I said.
She offers to pay him back what he paid for her, and he's like, do you have an extra $5 million laying around?
Oh. $5
million.
Yeah. He paid $5 million.
What the
That's
fuck?
That's crazy.
He could have probably just done like a couple thou and won her.
He wanted that guy to stop touching her.
Well, that's true.
She's shocked, but he's like, I wanted to pay for an adventure, and asks if she wants to go on one with him. And she takes his hand and says, sure. They sneak out of the gala together, and he brings her to a dry cleaner's so she can change into comfy clothes, where they also sell the world's best bagels. So I guess it's a bagel slash laundromat store. Okay. And also there's clothes there that she can just wear. I didn't quite understand.
You're taking someone's clothes?
Yes. She is taking someone's
clothes.
Yeah, she's a thief.
Maybe that's a thing. Maybe people leave their laundry there and then they sell the laundry. Yeah, I don't know. Then they get spotted by a fan and Aiden has to sign a magazine. They share some loaded eye contact and he tells her this feels like fate. And she's like, okay, all right.
That's how I'd be. I'd be like, how is it fate when you bought me?
Yeah.
You literally bought a night with me. What are you talking about?
Isn't it crazy how I, like, purchased you at the auction and now we're together? It feels like fate. She picks some clothes to change into and he leaves her to go get the bagels while she does this. But as she's changing, she realizes she can't find a shirt to wear. So as she's topless, he comes in and grabs her and she just tenses as his hand runs along the jagged scar on her abdomen. Because remember, she got stabbed in the beginning of the book.
That's right.
He asks why she's topless and she's like, there are no shirts here. He takes his hoodie off and gives it to her and tells her to hurry. The bagels are almost done. They get their bagels and head off down the road for the next part of their adventure. He brings her to an empty park overlooking the river, and she thinks to herself she could stay here with him forever, or at least for a little while. She finally gets to take a bite of her bagel, and it's so good she moans, which causes him to stare at her. Which, like, I love a bagel.
Me too.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, if I've ever moaned while eating.
You're just like, ugh.
When I eat a bagel, I'm like, that's good.
Yeah. I've definitely moaned while eating, for sure.
Satisfaction softens her features, and I'm once again struggling to keep my dick down as she moans into the bread. I'm gonna need to know your name if you're gonna keep making sounds like that. Her eyes widen, her head whipping in my direction. What sounds? My mouth falls open a little, the urge to ask if she's a virgin, in the literal sense flaring on the tip of my tongue. I don't think it'd surprise me either way, but the idea of her being untouched sends a renewed spike of pleasure down my spine. Nothing, I mutter instead, leaning back on the metal bench. She kicks her legs out, taking another bite as she quickly redirects her attention. I can't help noticing how different she seems, now that she's in normal clothes. Can't help noticing how good she looks in mine.
Also, she moaned while eating a bagel and his first thought was like, you a virgin?
Yeah. you must be.
You ever fuck before?
He knows if she were any other girl, he'd have already bent her over and fucked her by now. But this girl is different. She seems skittish and he wants to know what she's so afraid of. And deep down, he wants it to be him.
Also, hasn't he only had sex with one other person?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm gonna bend her over and fuck her. You're not a crazy wild animal.
He wants to know more about her. And then she gets a phone call from her brother Boyd that she's forced to take because she didn't check in with him like they'd agreed on. And she's reassuring him that she's fine and he doesn't need to come get her. Aiden checks his phone too, and he's also got a bunch of missed calls from people who noticed he left the gala. Their time together is running out.
Oh no.
When she gets off the phone, he gets all close to her like he's about to kiss her, but she grabs him and starts running, telling him to come with her. They're getting tattoos.
Oh, you crazy girl.
She's like, I gotta do something else crazy before the night is over.
He brings her to a seedy tattoo parlor that he normally gets tattooed at while he's in town. They get tattooed separately, not letting the other see what they decided on. As the tattoo artist starts to work on her, she begins to have an anxiety attack from the flashback of her mom's ex attacking her, and Aiden rushes in at the sounds she's making. And the artist is like, dude, I only did one line. And the guy refuses to finish working on her if she's gonna be freaking out. And she's like, okay, let Aiden finish it then.
What?
The guy reluctantly leaves and Aiden grabs the tattoo machine and starts working on her hip. And she's getting all soaky at how close he is to her right now.
Also, the tattoo guy was just like, yeah, okay, go ahead, take it.
Then in what world? Never fucking happened.
Sir, you'll lose your license.
Yeah. Where's the health department?
He switches the machine on, and that buzz races up my spine. I squeeze my legs against him, and the motion drags me closer, the point of his elbow digging into my lace-covered pussy. Curling my fingers into the leather cushioning, I try to move back, but my ass is sticking to the table, keeping me trapped against him. The second pulse between my thighs picks up speed, racing wantonly as it craves more friction. He's barely touching me, and I'm seconds from unraveling.
Are you gonna come, girl?
Yeah, after she was having a panic attack from the actual tattoo artist.
And now his elbow's touching her pussy and she's like,
yeah. He tells her how well she's doing and she asks him what he got tattooed tonight. He says a halo because she's an angel.
Cute.
Riley.
I rolled my eyes.
He finishes up with her, and when he's all done, he asks what she thinks, but she doesn't even look at the tattoo and says she's not ready for this adventure to be over yet, and grabs his hair, pulling his lips to hers. He rips off the latex gloves and goes feral on her, kissing her wildly. At least he wore gloves.
Yeah. One swipe of her tongue against mine, tentative as it explores, and my knees are fucking buckling. I drop one hand, bracing myself on the table, and press harder against her, mapping out the inside of her mouth like an explorer who's just discovered a new island. My dick throbs behind the zipper of my jeans, stiffening as she tries to bring her sweet little cunt closer. It was all I could do to keep my composure while I finished her tattoo. Concentration was nearly lost the second I bent down, inhaling the soft scent of her arousal.
Said I could smell your pussy.
This just reminds me of, like, Nick and Nora on crack.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Aiden pulls away from her when he feels like he's about to come in his pants, and she's immediately like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. And he's like, I've never had anyone apologize for kissing me before.
Okay. All right.
She scoots to the edge of the table, and he hooks his fingers in her panties and pulls them to the side, and she stops him, telling him she doesn't know why he'd want to do that. And he's like, I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't want to. He tells her the gala was filled with beautiful women that he wouldn't have had to pay for, but he only wanted her. They start kissing again, and he goes to pull off her sweatshirt, but she freezes and says, the shirt stays on. And he's like, okay, we can do that. Also, I don't have a condom, but he would regret ending tonight without tasting her. So he puts his head between her legs and inhales her peppermint lotion. She always wears peppermint lotion, and it's driving him crazy.
Uh-huh.
The toothpaste-y aroma.
Yeah. Have you ever put on peppermint lotion?
No, I feel like it would be like really cooling and kind of burn.
It is very cooling. Very cooling. It's weird. I don't like it.
She puts it like all over her body.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
I bet she smells like a little
minty
mint.
Fresh.
Yeah, she smells like a little candy cane.
Scoot closer, pretty girl. If you won't show me everything, I at least want to see this perfect cunt. You're extremely demanding. But she obeys anyway, shimmying forward so her ass is hanging half off the ledge of the table. Please accept my tongue as an apology. Her thighs flex, pressy against me as if she's trying to close them, trying to hide from me. I curl two fingers into the lace crotch of her thong, tug it to the side, and lean back on my heels to admire the shape of her glistening lips, like the dewy petals of a pink rose blossom. She opens up, perfection in the form of the sweetest sin. Jesus, how long have you been wet for me? I taunt, leaning into lap top to bottom, spreading her arousal. I don't. Were you going to keep it a secret? Pressing the flat of my tongue against her swollen clit, I soak in the soft vibrations, flicking the tip gently. Pretend I didn't have an effect on you, and then what, Angel? Were you going to touch yourself to the thought of me tonight? My licks turn languid, broad swipes along her seam as I grow more starved for her.
She tells him no, but he calls her a filthy liar. He eats her out and tells her how good she tastes, and keeps going until she starts to come.
Yes, just like that, Angel. You're fucking magnificent, coming for me like this. Such a good girl for your stranger. Lips parting on a silent scream, her body goes rigid, tremor after tremor racing through her as she finally surrenders. I groan, trading my mouth for my finger, and vice versa. That's it, pretty girl. Soak my fucking tongue. Immediately, she's trembling, fingers grabbing at my hair as I spear into her tight channel. A gush of wetness trickles along my taste buds, and I can feel myself leaking in my jeans, my cock desperate to be inside of her.
Woof.
Also, once you find out how big of a fan she is of this guy, it's very much giving, like, Haley and Justin.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
As soon as it's over, she tells him this was a mistake and it was so, so wrong. Then she says she needs to go. He tries to go in for a kiss, but she swerves him and runs out of the tattoo parlor. She gets in a cab and her mother's voice is in her head, calling her a slut and a whore. This is the first thing she's ever done with a guy and she's freaking out. She walks into her hotel room and Millie and Aurora take in her new attire and they're like, wow, someone had fun tonight. Hope the old guy at the bar wrapped it for you. They're cunts.
Yeah.
But she just runs to the bathroom to clean herself up and masturbate with the shower head real quick.
Gotta get the job done.
Yeah, girl.
But she doesn't come. She just wants to wash away the memories of tonight. So I guess she wasn't like masturbating. She was just like vigorously washing off her vagina.
Okay.
She's gotta scrub it clean.
The shame of it all. Her brother's girlfriend Fiona calls to see how her night was and she tells Fiona everything. And then she falls asleep. Aiden wakes up to his mother reprimanding him for ditching the gala last night because it cost her money to lose out on networking opportunities. He spots the green dress he stole from the mystery girl last night and wonders to himself why he even took it and what he's supposed to do with it now.
He took it?
Yeah, because she changed it to dry cleaners and he's like, yoink.
I'll take this gown, thank you. What do you do with that?
Jerk off on it? I don't know. Yeah. His father barges in and is like, you're all over the news right now, and pulls out a picture of him sitting on the bench with Riley gazing at her longingly. And his mother is like, you left the gala for a girl? But that's not all. The hashtag Aiden James is over party is trending because the girl is now claiming he sexually assaulted her.
Dun, dun, dun.
TMZ, already on top of it.
Damn.
And on top of that, the name and address she used for the event last night was all fake, so nobody can track her down. Riley gets back to King's Trace without seeing anything about her and Aiden in the news, and she has no clue what's going on. All around town, people are staring daggers at her, and she has no clue why. She's like, what the fuck?
Girl, look at the news.
She gets home with Boyd and Fiona, and they break the news to her. She finally gets to read the articles claiming that she was sexually assaulted, and she's like, that's not even true. I never said that. Boyd believes her, but tells her this is really, really bad. He's worried about her identity being revealed because of this, and then the associates of the man who hurt her 2 years ago might be able to track her down to finish the job. He tells her it would risk her life to go to the media to say it's not true. They're gonna have to sacrifice Aiden's reputation and possibly his career for this. She feels awful, but knows this is what they have to do, even if it means Aiden is going to hate her. Over the next few days, she reads what people are saying about her online, and it's not good. It's real bad. The believers are pissed. And she is, like, public enemy number one. Like, online, people are fucking ripping her apart. She even goes as far as finishing her senior year being homeschooled because she doesn't want to show her face.
Yeah, how could you?
Then, one day, an envelope shows up on her front door, and it's photos of her and Aiden, but these photos are intimate from the tattoo shop. So the pictures that got published were just of them at the park together, but these ones are of him, like, going down on her at the tattoo parlor.
Oh, shit.
In the envelope, there are also copies of all of her identification, her birth certificate, her vaccine records, her school roster, her internet history, and her location from the entire trip to New York City.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And she's like on the run from what I assume is the mafia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the sex trafficking people.
She enlists the help of someone named Dr. Cal Anderson, who is also known as Dr. Death. And I think we're supposed to know who he is from the first book, but we have no idea. And Riley spent the last few weeks digging up dirt on him so she could blackmail him into helping her. He asks what she wants, and she says she needs to disappear. He says, okay, but it'll be permanent, you know. And she says, yeah, she knows, and Boyd cannot find out. And Cal says, okay, let's kill Riley Kelly.
Killer.
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 Hey there, travelers. Kaylee Cuoco here. Sorry to interrupt your music. Great artist, BT Dubs. But wouldn't you rather be there to hear it live? With Priceline, you can get out of your dreams and into your dream concert. They've got millions of travel deals to get you to that festival, gig, rave, soundbath, or sonic experience you've been dreaming of. Download the Priceline app today, and you can save up to 60% off hotels and up to 50% off flights. So don't just dream about that trip. Book it with Priceline.
Go to your happy price, Priceline.
At New Balance, we believe if you run, you're a runner. However you choose to do it. Because when you're not worried about doing things the right way, you're free to discover your way. And that's what running's all about. Run your way at newbalance.com/running.
It's been months since his angel ruined his life. He's depressed and excommunicated from his own family, and he does not make music anymore. She's all he thinks about, and he's so obsessed with finding her, he remembers one important piece of information. She gave him a fake name at the charity gala, but must have given her real one at the tattoo shop, so now he's going on a field trip.
After all this time?
Yeah, a couple months went by, he's like, oh shit.
Light bulb!
Once he's at the shop, he asks for her license, and the shop doesn't hesitate. The gentleman lets Aiden know that someone sent a threat to them after they had left that night, saying if her real identity got out, their lives would be threatened. But he hands over the license, and as Aiden looks at her photo, he sees her name and her address, and his heart stops. He walks out of the shop and vows that if she's still alive, he's gonna make her wish she wasn't.
Like he's gonna kill her?
He's gonna torment her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, you fucked up my life. We're 3 years later. Riley is living in a small lake town outside of Denver. Fiona is visiting right before Christmas. Her death as Riley Kelly had no impact on her shithole hometown, and it is good because no one's looking for her now, but it also is like, she's like, damn, no one liked me or cared about me.
Yeah, that's sad.
She does web design stuff on the side to keep her busy, but the envelope of stuff she never told Boyd about still haunts her in her nightmares. She's determined to find out who started all of this all those years ago, and Aiden's found her and he can't wait to ruin her. She doesn't know this though. We're in his POV and he has found her. His obsession over her has not lessened, and he watches her through the diner window walk up to a dark-haired man, and he instantly wants to murder this man. Back at her apartment, one of her only two friends at Lunar Cove is fixing the dishwasher. His name is Caleb, and she thinks that he might have a crush on her, so she tries to keep it very platonic. And this is the dark-haired man that Aiden saw her with.
Okay.
She makes him dinner to say thank you for helping, and they eat in silence, staring at the other cabin across the way. It's supposed to be empty, but she sees a silhouette move in the upstairs window.
No, thank you.
They finish her dinner, and he invites her to the art show at his gallery. She tells him that she'll think about it, and then he kisses her on the cheek and says, goodnight, angel.
And Aiden's watching, and he's like, I'm gonna fucking kill him.
She locks her cabin up and heads upstairs, filling her jacuzzi bathtub, and grabs her little toy from her nightstand.
Okay, girl.
She's only picturing Aiden's gray eyes and wishes that they did more at the tattoo shop. Aiden is outside of her bathroom door listening to her get herself off.
No. No.
He tries to resist bursting inside. Instead of doing that, he just goes snooping through her room and pockets every single pair of panties that she owns.
He said, I'll take this.
When he hears her moan his name, he turns the knob to the bathroom door and sees her in the tub with her noise-canceling headphones, and he just watches her.
Okay, I'm never gonna wear those again.
Why would you wear those in the tub when you're home alone and terrified of the world?
Yeah, why would you?
Play a speaker, girl.
Yeah. She also needs a dog. Yeah. Like, if you're really that scared, girl, come on. Do some things.
Get a freaking Doberman.
Be proactive.
Yeah. My legs quake as her hands move, guiding the bulbous head of a vibrator back and forth over her clit. Blood rushes south and my palm comes down, pressing against the fly of my jeans. My tongue feels heavy and dry. Her tiny moans making me dizzy.
He watches her come, and then she stands in the tub and he doesn't move until he soaks in how beautiful she is. And I'm like, sir, are you not scared that she would automatically turn around? Yeah. He's just watching her. Then he walks out of the bathroom and back to her room, and he just starts jerking off in her room to the thought of her. So she's still in there, and he's like, you know what? I could do this real quick.
I mean,
we got time.
He's not wearing noise-canceling headphones. He can hear if she's coming.
He is very close, but he realizes that he can't just come on her floor.
Where is he gonna come?
A bottle sitting in my line of sight captures my attention, and I lean in, squinting hard to see the label. Satisfaction, sick and deranged, courses through my bloodstream, and I reach forward to unscrew the lid. Gripping the bottle in my free hand, I position it beneath the slit in my crown, resuming the languid strokes from before. A toe curls inside my boots, my spine liquefying as thick ropes of cum spurt from me like a hot spring. It dribbles into the lotion.
It's a lotion bottle?
Yeah. Musk mixing with the smell of Christmas, and I come close to blacking out from the pleasure it gives me.
He came in her pepperlint lotion.
Well, I guess it could be. At least it's not like in her water bottle or something.
Yeah.
Ew, it would like float.
Ew.
I don't want to think about that.
And he's like obsessed with her peppermint smell.
He said, now you're going to be cummy.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you would not notice that.
Oh, no.
Just wait.
He finishes, zips himself back up, and shakes the bottle to ensure that it mixes. And then he leaves just as she turns off the bathroom sink.
That's a damn shame.
When he gets back to the cabin across the way, he writes his first verse in 3 years.
I came in her lotion.
She wakes up the next morning to no underwear anywhere. And she calls Cal and he tells her that weirder shit has happened and he thinks her mind might be playing tricks and blocking stuff out. He's like, I'll order you extra security cameras. You should probably go to therapy again.
That would piss me off so bad. Yeah, I'd be like, what the fuck do you mean? I just forgot where all my underwear, all of them, every single pair. No.
Once she's back in bed, he sneaks in and sees that the plates and wine glasses in the sink confirm his suspicion that the man was there tonight. He breaks a wine glass and leaves the pieces for her to find. Then he goes over to the landline and sees that it's blinking red. He turns the volume down and listens to the voicemail, hearing Caleb call her Angel. He deletes the voicemail, then heads upstairs and sits at the edge of her bed to stare at her sleeping. He pulls her blanket down and she's naked and he just has to take a moment to appreciate it.
He says, honk honk. The night at the tattoo shop, the shape of her sopping cunt and the feel of her thighs against my ears are seared into my memory. But the top half of her body is uncharted territory. He said her shirt was on last time.
He lowers the blanket more and traces the tattoo that he gave her until he feels the smooth skin disappear. He looks up close to see a large scar and wonders how she got it since all her files for her medical reports never mentioned her being hospitalized for this. So the attack isn't on her medical records anywhere.
And he went through her medical records.
Yeah. Thorough research.
HIPAA who?
She starts to move around and that's when he notices the scar on her face. And now he wants to know what the fuck happened to her. Because she never leaves the house without makeup on. So nobody knows she has like a scar that runs from her mouth up to her fucking eye like the Joker.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, like what foundation are you using, girl?
Come on.
He covers her with the intention to leave, but not before he touches her. He slightly touches her jaw and her eyes pop open. She thinks that she's having some weird Ambien-induced dream until he starts talking about how she has so many secrets and he wants to know if she will confess them now. He covers her mouth and then tells her for every question she doesn't answer or gets wrong, he'll pull the blanket down until her dignity ceases to exist.
Sir.
And then he begins and asks why she started the rumors all those years ago. She tries to say that she didn't, but he isn't having it, so he pulls the blanket down and exposes a breast. Then he leans down like he might kiss it, and she's hella soaked.
I'd be shitting my pants.
Yeah, he just broke into her house.
Yeah. He can immediately sense her, like, changing from fear to aroused and pulls the blanket until it's all the way past her tattoo.
Gray eyes feast on my naked form. If sight were palpable, I'd be a sobbing explosion of pleasure right now, trembling from the lack of warmth as it mixes with the fire in his gaze. Nostrils flare. His inked hand grips my knee, bending it slightly, opening me. He just hovers, watching for my reaction, and then he inhales. Says, Ash my pushy.
She wants him so bad, but then realizes he knows her real name and how to track her. He broke into her home and she's letting him full on like do this without putting up a fight.
Yeah.
She manages to get him off of her with enough time to lean over the bed and puke everywhere. Like she has a full on like panic attack and then just throws up on the ground.
Yeah.
He tells her she will atone for what she did, even if he has to coax it from her body because she clearly wants him. Then he kisses her, depositing a peppermint from his mouth to her mouth and warns her not to say anything to anyone. And then he's just gone.
Ew.
That's his thing, too. He, like, always has a peppermint in his mouth now because he's obsessed with her peppermint lotion.
Yeah. He's gonna get a cavity.
Yeah. If Andrew kissed me and put a peppermint from his mouth to my mouth, I'd be like, Don't ever.
She did just throw up, though. She probably needed it.
She wakes up wondering if she dreamt the entire thing, but there is a vomit stain on her floor, and she's in a shirt and bottoms and no peppermint candy residue in her mouth. So she's like, what the fuck happened? She grabs her gun from a locked drawer, and as she stands, she feels someone come up behind her. It's Aiden, and he wants to know if she can even use the gun, and then takes her hand and turns the gun on her.
Girl.
He doesn't do anything except release the magazine and then drops the now unloaded gun onto the floor. He grips her and asks if she's ready to confess why she did what she did, and then he undoes her robe and starts to expose her. Before anything goes further, the doorbell rings, and he's fucking pissed. He tells her to let the man know that she can't make it to his stupid art show, and she realizes just how much Aiden actually knows about what's going on in her life.
She's like, oh, so you're like stalking me. Got it. Okay.
It's scary.
He follows her downstairs, but keeps out of sight behind the door as she opens it to turn Caleb down. As he hides behind the door, he touches part of her shoulder while trying to whisper dirty things in her ear, all while Caleb is like, please go to my art show, Angel, please.
Is that her name now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is pissing Aiden off.
Angel? I hiss, curling my fingers so I'm cupping her from behind. She's dripping, arousal slick against her silken skin, and I bite down on the inside of my cheek until I taste blood just to keep from moaning out loud. She shifts as I probe deeper, delving between her folds until I find her pulse. Swirling the tip of my index finger around her clit once, twice, I revel in the shudder that racks her body, throwing her off balance. My God, how do you focus in a moment like that?
Then Aiden opens the door to show himself to Caleb. She tells him that Aiden was just leaving as he literally is fingering her from behind, but where Caleb still can't see it. Caleb surprises him and says that he recognizes Aiden as the singer that Angel is always talking about.
Angel.
Oh my God.
Just as Riley is about to come, Aiden tells Caleb that she won't be there tonight. She's under the weather, and then slams the door shut in his face.
She's probably like, thanks for fucking saying that.
When it's finally shut, he pulls his fingers out of her, telling her she doesn't get to come because she has not been a very good girl. And then he kisses her. He tells her that this is just the beginning, and then he leaves to go back to his cabin.
Taking my cock out the second I'm back in my rental, I beat myself dry to the image of her spasming around me.
Beat myself.
And the little sound she makes, my name coming from her lips, and when I climax, hot ropes have come, staining the pair of silk panties I've wrapped around the crown of my dick. I try not to let it bother me that her friend said she told him about me. Why would it bother you?
Because, like, why is she talking about him?
Yeah, but you would think that he'd be like,
But, like, why are you talking about me, and also, you ruined my life?
That's true.
The next day at the diner, she's pondering exactly how he found her in the first place, and how long does she have before all the other people looking for her finally show up? Caleb comes in and asks if he can join her to make sure she's still coming to Thanksgiving dinner at his mom's house. She can even bring her house guest. She tells him that she'll think about it, and then she goes to leave. Aiden is finishing his virtual meeting with his dad about a couple of tracks he submitted when he sees Caleb drop Riley off at her cabin. He again has these murder fantasies about killing Caleb, and he's not sure why, since he's only there to fuck up her life.
Then why do you keep finger blasting her?
Yeah.
Once he watches Caleb leave, he goes to her house and finds her removing all of her makeup. He demands to see her scar because nothing in her medical history alludes to how she got them. She tells him to get her tormenting over with because she's not going to tell him all of her secrets. They get into it and she tries to hurt him by hitting him and he smashes her face into the wall. She cries and he tells her not to cover her scars again or he'll make the experience so much worse for her. And then he leaves.
He said, or I'll give you more scars, bitch.
Yeah. I've unloaded my cock probably 100 times since the other night, frantically trying to erase the mental image of tears streaking down Riley's porcelain cheeks. I'm doing it again now, squeezing my dick like I'm trying to punish it. The memory of her breaking down, playing on a loop in my mind.
This poor girl, man. Like, she's a straight victim, and he's just like, I want to make you suffer more than you already have 20 times in this life.
But he thinks she ruined his life.
That's true. I mean, all they have to really do is just have, like, one conversation, but yeah.
Yeah. She tried to tell him, and he was like, don't. I don't believe you.
Maybe, like, try again. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
He arrives at the diner where she is working on her laptop and sees that she listened to him about covering some of her scar. So she did, like, light coverage. He walks up to her and tells her that she actually listened to him. And before she can respond, he kisses her in public.
He says, mine.
And he doesn't care if it causes any problems. Riley finishes a really awful phone call with Boyd and attempts to get ready for Thanksgiving dinner that night. And when she steps out of the bathroom, she realizes she might not make it there since Aiden is on her bed. She tells him that she's not in the mood for this and she's leaving to go to Thanksgiving dinner, but he stops her. He flips her skirt up and runs his fingers down to her vagina. He starts to finger her again and she attempts to tell him to stop, but she just can't get the words out.
Aw, man. Dang it.
Then she hears his belt buckle and feels his dick at her entrance.
I suck in a sharp breath when he starts to push inward, feeling my pussy stretch beyond belief. Fuck, my cock looks good inside you, he says, blowing out a breath. But still, he doesn't move any farther. So he's just like a little in.
Just the tip, baby.
Just the tip.
They're just gonna soak, okay?
Okay. Someone get on that bed and start
jumping. Gonna say, who's gonna bounce it?
He doesn't push all the way in and just starts rubbing himself against her. And she's practically begging for him to fuck her at this point. But he, again, just keeps rubbing his dick on her until she comes. And then he comes all over her thighs. So they don't have sex.
Kind of.
He tells her that he will be going to that Thanksgiving dinner with her one way or another. And if it can't be in person, then it's just going to be his cum running down her thighs. Aiden goes to the diner and tries to write, but Jade, one of the waitresses there, tells him the whole town is going to know about him and Riley kissing by tomorrow. And sure enough, he gets a text from Liam and his dad, and it proves Jade right. They want to know what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah, what is he doing?
You been where? With who?
He goes to leave and stands outside when he sees Caleb drop her off to wait for a taxi. He approaches her, and she tells him that he's an amateur stalker and should probably learn from her since she ran his super fan club for 2 years. She knew where he was, learned where his favorite drinks were, so in each city that he had a show at, she could send them in gift baskets to his room.
Girl.
So he would have them before his show.
Hailey Bieber.
Yeah, that's Hailey Bieber right there.
Oh, yeah.
She asks if he's nervous now since she's technically the better stalker, and he says no, but she can tell that he's very uncomfortable.
Good. Make him uncomfortable.
He grabs her and starts to dirty talk her, asking what she likes sexually, but she quickly tells him that she's a virgin despite what one of the medical records says. And he's like, wait, what?
He said, I didn't see anything.
It's been a couple days and she hasn't seen Aiden since Fiona is in town for the weekend. She notices the temperature has dropped in her cabin, so she turns the heat up and uses the restroom. When she's done, she looks in the mirror to see a rash that will not go away no matter how much lotion she uses.
Ew. Cum rash.
She thinks about what Aiden said on one particular medical record and wonders what happened that night of the attack. When she walks downstairs, Caleb is making her breakfast and is like, are you okay? Because that rash is looking real bad, girl.
He said, it's kind of grossing me out.
Ooh, what's that, eczema? Ooh.
Oh, you should go to a doctor for that.
You got contact dermatitis?
Aiden walks in shirtless and dripping wet and looking hot as fuck. He is covered in tattoos. She's never seen him shirtless before. So she didn't know that he has like tattoos from like neck all the way down.
Oh, but that's not the only thing that catches my eye. As I make my third pass around the colorful line work, my gaze snags on a splash of silver. My stomach tightens. His left nipple is pierced. A plain dime-sized hoop hangs off the puckered flesh. And for some reason, my first instinct is to reach out and hook my pinky through it.
Why?
Aiden tells her she can't be having an allergic reaction since her only allergy is to latex. And Caleb's like, what the fuck? How would you know that? And Aiden's like, I think you know. So they get into like a big dick contest.
Oh, God.
At Capella University, you can learn at your own pace with our FlexPath learning format. Take one or two courses at a time and complete as many as you can in a 12-week billing session. With FlexPath, you can even finish the bachelor's degree you started in 22 months for $20,000. A different future is closer than you think with Capella University. Learn more at capella.edu. Fastest 25% of students. Cost varies by pace, transfer credits, and other factors. Fees apply.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. Not everyone is careful with your personal information, which might explain why there's a victim of identity theft every 5 seconds in the U.S. Fortunately, there's LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year by visiting LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Aiden decides to give Caleb a visit at his art gallery and have a little one-on-one chat with him. He's like, all right, what's your and Angel's deal? And Caleb baits him and he's like, most nights she screams my name. Aiden starts seeing red. But then Caleb's like, just kidding, dude. I literally know nothing about her. She is like a closed book. She will not tell me anything. But all I want is to keep her safe from whatever she's running from. That won't ever happen because she doesn't look at me the way she looks at you. And inside, Aiden's like...
Oh my God. How does she look at me? Like, Aiden takes the cover off of a hidden canvas that Caleb had in the corner, and it's a stunning, unscarred painting of a Riley. And he threw down a blank check, and he's like, I'll take it, however much you want.
He said, give me that. I'm going to jerk off to it later. Yeah.
Riley's on the phone with Cal when she tells him that the additional cameras that she requested, she's like, they never came. But now her thermostat is broken, and she's literally freezing her tits off at home. When she gets home, she's waiting for Aiden to jump out per usual, but he's nowhere to be found. She's standing on her back porch in her robe and purple slippers when she sees his figure in his cabin across the lake. And in that moment, she realizes how badly she burns for him. She says, fuck it. And she decides to go to him. And mind you, she's just in a robe and slippers.
And it's wintertime outside of Denver. There's like piles of fucking snow.
Yeah.
Crazy girl.
She knocks on his door. And when he doesn't immediately answer, she turns to leave. And she slides down and falls down. And she gets the wind knocked out of her.
In a robe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's some shit.
She's plagued with PTSD from the attack. But have no fear, because Pookie Bear is here.
Oh, Pookie.
He runs to her. And he's like, girl. What the fuck are you doing here? And she's like, you didn't come to me tonight, so I decided to come to you.
Stand up.
Yes. He's like dumbfounded. He's like, why are you here? Didn't you get the memo that I wanted to hurt you?
He's like, girl, I hate you. Maybe I'll let you. I whisper, and my hand slides to the back of his neck, tugging him in for a brutal kiss that I just know I'll feel on my teeth for years to come.
After their steamy little kiss, Aiden wants some answers, and that makes Riley panic. She tries telling him that she can't give him the answers that he's looking for, and he tells her that he has to know. She looks terrified and begs him not to have her tell him.
My cock jerks against her hip, encouraged by her tears, and I reach up to collect them on my thumb. Without giving it much forethought, I slide that same hand beneath the waist of my pants, pinching the bead of pre-cum bubbling at the tip of my shaft, and bring it back up, mixing the two liquids together.
Tears and cum.
Cocktail.
Yum.
He tells her that he likes the control that he has over her, and how she trusts him to use that power to please her, to corrupt her.
Are you going to corrupt me? She asks, her voice saccharine, but not in an innocent, genuine way. I look up at her as my fingers find her cunt, sliding deftly between the already slick folds, and her lashes fan across her cheeks as she stares back, uncertain, but still somehow unwavering. Circling her entrance with my middle finger, one of my eyebrows lifts. I think I already have. Abandoning her tight little hole, I move back up and find her swollen clit, squeezing it between two fingers. She jerks, and I fit our upper halves together again, swallowing her ensuing moan.
I feel like I would have like a reflex to that. Like, I feel like I would hit someone.
Yeah, I think so too. He tries taking her robe all the way off, but she stops him, crying out that it's embarrassing because of her scars. And she just breaks down. She has a full mental breakdown at this moment. She's like, yes, they're just scars. Yes, I should be lucky to be alive. Yes, I should be happy that my body can function, but I'm scared. Every second of every day, I'm miserable. I'm not happy. I'm not grateful I'm alive. I'm literally traumatized. Like, she is having full-blown mental breakdown.
He's like, whoa.
Yeah. And then she just, like, straddles him and starts riding his dick. Well, dry humping it, I guess. And he's like, yeah, I'm not turned on, really. Can we not do this?
He said, that kind of gave me the ick.
But she begs him to make her forget.
He's like, you just trauma dumped on me. I don't want to fuck you.
He's like, actually, you can go home by yourself tonight.
Without missing a beat, she continues dry humping me, face wet from her tears and flushed with desire. She looks so painfully perfect, so agonizingly tempting, that I can't hold back. Fuck it. Maybe this is how I'll ruin her.
Yeah, fuck her when she's crying.
She pulls his dick out of his pants and starts pumping.
I want you to look at it, I say, sliding a hand up to fist the back of her hair, tilting her chin down. Look at what's gonna be inside you soon. Get it nice and wet so it pushes right in that sweet cunt of yours. She watches, mouth parted. What if it doesn't fit? Christ, it'll fit, Angel, even if we have to make it.
Shove it in there.
What if it doesn't fit?
Oh my God, shut up. It'll fit, girl.
She starts riding the shaft of his dick, like rubbing it on her clit, but he's not penetrating her yet.
That's it, I croon, coaxing her through as she cries out in elation. That's my girl, fucking me, and I'm not even inside you yet. Use me to make yourself feel good. I want you dripping when I push my cock in. She rides me right off the cliff, panting and swiveling and moaning. And then I hoist her up, grab the base of my dick, and drag her down on top of it.
They start doing the dang thing, and it's euphoric for both parties. They both come, and it's pure magic. Riley just wants to snooze. And he's like, no, go piss, girl. Like, you gotta pee. She's like, okay, in a second. I'm like super tired. Just let me relax.
He's like, you're gonna get a UTI.
Yeah. You don't want a UD. Just as she was about to snooze off, she feels in between her legs.
His breath skates across my clit, making it throb painfully as he lines his mouth up. What are you doing? One lick along my seam has my head dropping to the floor. Aftershocks rolling through me. Cleaning up, he says, before sealing his mouth to me like it's the most natural thing in the world.
He's sucking his cum out of her.
He said, if you're not going to pee, then I'm going to clean you up myself.
A gentleman.
Riley's asleep and Aiden gets a better look at her scars. There's a pink white scar from the outside of her left hip all the way to her belly button, the thickest point being two fingers wide.
Goddamn.
Yeah, this is a big ass bitch. She wakes up and he shows her scars of his own. He has slit his wrist 3 different times trying to commit suicide. And his family just covered up in an attempt of him trying to like say that he just wanted attention. They were like, boy, you just wanted attention. Stop doing that. Yeah. The scars are now covered up by tattoos and it was never released to the media. He tells her she has scars, but the scars do not have her, and that she is beautiful. And they both feel truly seen in that moment. And it's a really cute moment between the two of them.
Cute.
It's later and Aiden is talking to his dad, telling him that he doesn't want to drag Riley into this because once he found Riley and he told his dad, the whole plan was to get her to clear his name. But his dad is literally like a raging cunt. He's like, oh, you're gonna just drop all this for some pussy? And he's like, fuck you, dad. I'm gonna do what I want and I don't care. Aiden is doing some cutesy light stalking on Riley throughout the day when he sees her with Caleb. And Caleb is way too touchy-feely and has his hands on Riley's face when he's talking to her. And Aiden's like, yeah, I gotta stop that.
He said, I'm gonna kill that man.
He walks up to them and he's like, can I talk to you? She tries shutting him down and tells them that they're in the middle of a conversation. And he's like, Riley. And Caleb's like, who the fuck is Riley?
Oh.
She pulls him to the bathroom. And his punishment to her was that he gets to eat her pussy and then fucks her while Caleb's waiting for them.
Oh, no. Yeah, darn it.
I know, pretty girl. Fuck, I know. Feels so goddamn good to be fucked, doesn't it? To be owned. I'm losing it. Losing the last vestiges of my sanity as they break off and evaporate into her soul. Take it, Riley. Own me. Claim me right back and make me blow inside this sweet, filthy cunt.
Filthy? Excuse me.
Yeah, it's clean.
As they're about to leave the bathroom, they realize that they're locked in. And finally, Aiden is able to break down the door, splintering it everywhere, and Caleb is nowhere to be found. But they're not alone.
Who's there?
Riley looks like she's seen a ghost. She gasps and she says, Millie?
Remember her roommate at the beginning of the book in New York?
Oh, shit. And something weird is going on. So Millie is a collector of rare artifacts, and that's how she made an appointment to meet with Caleb at the art gallery. But when she met Aiden, she's like, oh my god, Aiden! And she tweeted his location, outing where he was hiding out. And she also didn't disclose to Caleb that she knew Angel really is an angel. So she's like hella sketchy right now. And Riley's just like, what the fuck? Like, this girl's a bitch.
Yeah, why are you here?
And then she's like, okay, so I'm gonna go, bye. And then she leaves with Aiden. As they leave, they are finally able to talk about what happened 3 years ago. He's like, can you please tell me, like, why you faked your death or what? She doesn't tell him, though, because they start making out and then they fuck and they totally forget they were in the middle of a 3-year-long conversation.
Oh, how do you fuck in a moment like that?
Magic. They're just pulled to each other. It's Christmas and they decide to have some kinky ass Christmas sex.
I bend down, pressing my forehead against her as she preens, her screams vibrating against my fingers, her cunt spasming in a vice grip around my cock. Mine, my filthy girl. I grunt, pushing in one final time as I unload rope after rope of seed inside her. I come so hard that I black out, feeling 10,000 pounds lighter when I return to Earth.
10,000 pounds of cum.
Scary.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Aiden got Riley her favorite authentic New York City strawberry bagel. All of a sudden, her front door slams shut and she freezes in fear. She's not expecting anyone. And of course, because they've not had that conversation of what she's running from, Aiden has no idea who or what is on the other side of her bedroom door.
Who?
When he finally puts on pants and opens the door, he's met with a huge tattoo of a man who looked identical to Riley. And it's Boyd, her brother.
Oh. Hey, Boyd. Hey, just fucking your sister.
He texted her 3 times, called her 4 times, and she didn't answer, so he had to come and make sure she was still alive. Fiona comes in next, and she's like, oh, you must be Caleb. And let's just say the tension is high.
Oof.
Boyd threatens to shoot Aiden, and Aiden's like, go ahead if that's what you need to do, but I promise you I mean no harm. And whatever Boyd sees
passes this test because he lowers the gun, kisses Fiona on the forehead, and goes downstairs. Later, Aiden goes home, and Riley and Boyd actually have a much-needed brother and sister bonding time. Boyd talks to her about the guilt that he carries over walking in on the day she was attacked from their mom's boyfriend, and he knew what they were capable of and the guilt that he feels for not taking her out of that environment sooner. He clears his throat and pulls out a key and tells her that he would love to have her home, that the house is hers. He spent the last 3 years killing every last single one of them. So throughout the book, she was like always constantly pushed off from talking to her brother, and she felt like he didn't want anything to do with her and that he didn't make time to talk to her. And it wasn't because he didn't want to talk to her. It was just that he was busy killing for her and keeping her safe from the mafia.
Ah, a great brother.
Aiden is packing up, getting ready to leave because he has booked his very first show back in 3 years for New Year's Eve. The reality of him leaving is setting in, and he told her that they both knew this wasn't going to last and they're from different worlds. They're about to have one last shebang when she finally tells him what happened that night 3 years ago. She tells him the night that she got her scars, her mom's boyfriend was a drug runner for the local mob, and he was always around. She didn't think much of it until one night she was on the couch, and the next moment she was on her back breaking the glass of the coffee table.
Goddamn.
He cut her open in multiple places and violated her unconscious body. She was legally deceased for 2 whole minutes before she was revived. And the night she went out in New York was the first time she was out since the night of the attack. She finally admitted to him that she couldn't come forward about the allegations since the man who attacked her was involved in sex trafficking, and her mom made a deal that could, again, put her in danger if her identity was revealed. Aiden remembered that the tattoo shop lady saying someone threatened their life after they left to get the information from Riley. So when she got her tattoo, she gave the ID, and then when he came back, they were like, someone came in and threatened their life for Riley's information. Also, why didn't he just ask what that person looked like?
Yeah, the plot.
Aiden asked her why she's now telling him all of this, and she saw in his suitcase her emerald green dress that she wore 3 nights ago. It's like his baby blankie, like he takes it everywhere with him.
He just sleeps with a fucking gown.
Yeah. After her confession to him and their life-changing kiss, Aiden leaves for his show and leaves her in Colorado. It's New Year's Eve and Aiden is on TV. He's captivating. Just as his fourth song starts, he abruptly stops his show and decides to give a little speech. He tells the whole world that 3 years ago, his world was rocked off of his axis. Not because he was accused of sexual assault. Yeah, that definitely sucked. But because he became obsessed with this amazing woman. I feel like that's the wrong thing to say when you're accused of sexual assault.
He said, that girl that accused me? Oh, God, I love her.
I love her so much.
He tells the world that he lost her, found her, and then left without her, and he will spend the rest of his life trying to make up for the fact that he didn't bring her with him. His obsession with her is nowhere close to ending, and this will probably be his last show ever because he's now officially retiring from music, and he dedicates this next song to his pretty girl.
Aww. Aww. Sounds like a PR nightmare. Yeah.
After his show, Aiden finally tells his dad to fuck off, and he has no shame that he's putting himself first. He takes a flight back to his cabin, and he has so much anxiety over Riley if she saw his show or not, and if she feels the same way. He gets to her cabin first, but sees in his peripheral vision that the light in his old cabin is on, and there's a shadow in it. But something instantly feels off to him. Riley didn't know that he'd be back for her, so why would she be in his house? He sneaks into his house and grabs a little weapon and makes his way to the second floor. When he makes it to the top of the stairs, he takes in the sight before him. Riley's beaten and her hands are zip tied behind her and there's duct tape over her mouth.
What
and there's
the blood fuck? Coming.
And there's blood coming out of the wound from her side.
I thought the book was about to end.
It is.
Right there. I thought she's gonna be like naked on the bed and he's gonna walk in and they're gonna fuck and that was it.
What the hell? Third act assault.
Yeah, God.
Guess who it is?
Caleb.
It's crazy ass Millie. Her blonde friend known. From school. So it turns out that Millie's a super fan. She's just a crazy bitch. She was behind the sexual assault plot and everything. She like stalked Riley that whole night. So when Aiden picked Riley, she was like, it was supposed to be me. So she stalked her, took pictures of them, framed her for the sexual assault.
Crazy girl.
And now she's getting her revenge on Riley. And she's standing there with this huge ass steak knife ready to cut some bitches up. She's talking to Aiden, and Aiden was able to creep up the stairs and, like, untie Riley. And Riley's like, you need to go. Millie's like, if you can't have me, no one can.
Crazy.
She runs and tackles Aiden, straddles him, and then pulls a gun out of her waistband and puts it under his throat.
Good Lord.
And in this moment, Aiden is spewing his undying love for Riley. And Riley's telling him that she loves him too. And she's like, I love you, Aiden. And Aiden's like, I love you. And just as Millie is about to pull the trigger, blood starts spurting from her neck, and she looks up wide in shock. Millie left the knife unattended, and Riley stabbed the bitch right in the jugular.
Jesus.
The knife handle's on one side of her neck, and the tip is sticking out from the other side.
Brutal.
And Aiden is freaking out because, naturally, what the fuck just happened? And Riley's like, see? I told you I had nothing to do with the rumors.
She's like, I've been telling you.
And I'm a bigger super fan.
Yeah.
I ran the fan account.
It's 1 year later. And somehow, Millie literally didn't die that night.
She's alive.
Is she in prison?
Yes. She pleaded insanity. So she's in an institution.
Okay.
Don't ask me how she didn't die. If it was straight through her neck. I'm not sure. But yeah, she's alive. Riley was able to return home. And she lives across the street from Boyd. She did make a small press statement relating to Millie's charges to link her to the faking her death. But people still look at her like hella weird. Aiden is no longer a pop sensation, but he did open his own record label and is working on mending his relationship with his mother, because throughout the book they did have a strained relationship. And Aiden and Caleb are becoming pretty close friends now. They were able to tell him who Riley's real identity is, and they visit each other once a month and collect his art. The end.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Wow. So Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I agree with 3.
Yeah.
It just seems so, like, obviously it's a book, it's fiction, I know. But just so, like, outlandish, you know?
It's quite outlandish.
But I agree with 3. I didn't hate it. I liked it.
Do you think Aiden is sexy?
No. Something about him gives me the ick.
Would you trade places with Riley?
God, no.
Absolutely not.
No. Fuck no.
She's already a Riley, so she doesn't need to trade places with a Riley.
That's true.
No.
I just feel like they made his whole personality about him being a pop star, didn't really touch on that. And then they made her whole personality about the mafia and being attacked and stuff, and didn't really touch on it.
Yeah.
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 It was a wild book, though. Crazy idea.
So next week, we're telling Riley all about Madam by Sarah Kate, which is the last book in the Salacious Players Club series. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
So this one is about Madam Kink, correct?
Correct.
Okay. What if, I'm going like way off beat here. I have a feeling this is going to be way wrong. But what if Madam Kink breaks away from the Salacious Players Club? Because she's not a owner, right?
No.
No, she just goes there.
She works there.
Works there. What if maybe she opens up like her own little sex club? Because I feel like this is way different than the rest of them. But like, what if she, I think she either has like her, she goes on like her own adventure that possibly does not involve the Salacious Players Club, or she falls in love with one of them.
One of the owners?
Yes. Because they're not all linked up, right? Or are they all linked up at this point? They all are, huh? Never mind. Scratch that. What is her kink again? All of them?
Dominatrix.
Yeah, I'm going to go with she goes on her own adventure outside of the Salacious Players Club.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Well, can't win them all. Or any.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.